Okay, let's pick up at the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis by the two dots by the first wide line. We had said in the Gemara that if Reuven brings his fruit into Shimon's backyard or Shimon's chatzar, and he didn't have a permission to bring his fruit there, but he brought his fruit there anyway, and then Shimon's animal got damaged by the fruit somehow. So the halacha is that Reuven is going to have to compensate Shimon. That's what the Mishnah said. The Rav comes along and Rav qualifies that. He wants to know, well, wait a second, how exactly did Shimon's animal get hurt as a result of those fruit? So Amar Rav, lo shanu ela shehuchlag ben. That halacha, that which we learned in the Mishnah, that Reuven is going to be liable for the damages that happened to Shimon's animal as a result of Reuven's peros being there, that's only if Shimon's animal slipped on the fruit, and that's how it got hurt. Aval achla, but if the animal ate the fruit, and that's how it got hurt. So Rashi says, for example, let's say it ate too much and it died. So then, pater. So then Reuven is going to be pater. Why should Reuven be pater in that case? Why does it make a difference? So says Rav, my time, what's the reason for that? Have a loshlo tocha, because the animal should not have eaten. The animal did it to itself, and so since the animal did it to itself, Reuven is not going to be liable for that. Yes, it's true that he brought his fruit there, but Shimon's animal should not have used that fruit to hurt itself. Okay. Amar Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes said, Amina, so I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you, Ki naim v'shachiv Rav amar l'hashmaita. Rav must have been dozing off and sleeping when he said this shtekel Torah. Why do I think that? The Tana, because we have a Braisa. The Braisa indicates otherwise. What does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, Anosin sama maves lefnei behemas chaver. If a person puts poison in front of the animal of his friend, so Reuven puts poison out in front of Shimon's animal, pater medini adam v'chai bedini shemaim. So Reuven is going to be pater bedini adam. We're not going to hold him accountable in court. But he's going to be liable between the Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him accountable. Now, Sam HaMavis Hu Delo Avida Da'achlas. What do you see in the Braisa? So it's specifically if Reuven puts poison out in front of Shimon's animal, that's where we say that Reuven is going to be Patur Medin the Adam. Sam HaMavis, it's poison Hu Delo Avida Da'achla, which is not suited, it's not meant to be eaten. That's why Reuven is going to be Patur Avil Peres. But if Reuven would have put out Peres, the avida the achla, which are suited to be eaten, they're meant to be eaten, bedini adam nami mechayv. So then Reuven would be liable, he'd be accountable even bedini adam. Now, wait a second. If Rav is correct, v'amai, but why should that be if Rav is correct? Have a lo shlo tochal, if the animal shouldn't have eaten. But clearly you see that Rav is incorrect, because the Braisa says that specifically when Reuven is putting up poison in front of Shimon's animal, that's when Reuven is going to be putter if the animal gets damaged as a result. That's when Reuven is going to be putter, because samamavis, poison is not meant to be eaten. But if Reuven would put out something that's meant to be eaten, and that's how the animal got hurt, well then Reuven would be liable. So how could Rav say over here that that specifically in this Mishnah, if the animal slips on the fruit that Reuven brought into Shimon's field, into Shimon's courtyard, that's when Reuven is going to be liable. But if the animal would have eaten it, so then, and that's how it got hurt, then Reuven is going to be bothered. The Braisa seems to indicate otherwise. So says the Gemara, Amri, I'll tell you what I would say. Hu hadin afilu peres nami patur medin the adam. No. That Braisa, when it's telling you that if Reuven puts out poison in front of Shimon's animal, that Reuven is going to be putter if the animal dies, that's not specifically poison. That's an arbitrary case. The same thing would apply if we're dealing with Paris. Reuven would also be putter medin the adam. Aye, so then the question is, well then if Reuven would also be putter if he put out even fruit, so then why did the Braisa mention specifically when Reuven is putting out poison? So the Braisa is coming to teach us that even poison also, which is not meant to be eaten, that Reuven would be liable, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold him accountable. Meaning to say, the Chiddush is not that he's Pater B'din Yarem, the Chiddush is that he's Chayiv B'din Yishmaim. You might have thought that if he puts out poison, he should be Pater B'din Yishmaim. So Kamash Lun, the Braisa is telling you that no, Reuven is going to be Chayiv B'din Yishmaim. Okay, now that's one suggestion. Alternatively, you could say like this, Samamavis Nami B'Afrasta. When the Braisa says samamavis, when it says poison, it doesn't mean poison the way that we relate to poison. It means even afrasta. Afrasta is, Rashi tells us, it's like some sort of grass, some sort of vegetation that is consumable, it is meant for consumption, but for animals, it's poisonous. So that vegetation that you put out, those grasses that you put out, whatever it is, that's what the brass meant when it said samamaves. So when you put out samamaves, that's a kind of peri, that's a kind of fruit. In which case, the brass is telling you exactly the same idea as what Rav is telling you in the Mishnah. That when you put out this samamaves, when you put out fruit that, as far as animals concerned, is poisonous, well, then you're going to be pater. Pater min din yadam, chayv din shemayim, just like in our brisa, where we say that when you put out fruit, if the animal gets damaged as a result, when the animal gets damaged as a result of this fruit, it's only when it slipped, says Rav, but if it would have eaten the fruit, you'd be pater. Okay. So that is, so what do we do over here? Rav walked in and Rav qualified the Mishnah. He said that when Reuven brings his fruit into Shimon's backyard, and Shimon's animal, and he didn't have permission to bring the fruit in, Shimon's animal gets hurt, the Mishnah says that Reuven is going to be liable. So Rav comes in and he qualifies and he says, no, that's actually only if Reuven, that's only if Reuven, if the animal slipped on Reuven's fruit. But if the animal would have eaten that fruit, and maybe it ate too much and that's how it died, so then Reuven would be pater. Why? Because the animal shouldn't have done that to itself. It shouldn't have eaten the fruit. Okay, so Rav Sheshet said, but Rav seems to be incorrect, because there's a braisa that says specifically when Reuven puts poison out in front of Shimon's animal, that's when Reuven would be pater. But presumably the braisa seems to be telling that he'd be chayiv if he'd be putting out fruit, and that's how the animal got hurt. So the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you how Rav could get out of that. One of two ways. Either the braisa is arbitrarily using the case of poison. It could even be using peros. So why is the braisa discussing specifically poison? It's not to the exclusion of peros. It's just teaching you a chiddush that you would have thought that maybe Reuven should be pater b'dinei shamayim. Kamash malan, that even samamaves, even though it's not meant to be eaten, Reuven is going to be chayiv b'dinei shamayim. The second possible answer is that when the braisa says samamaves, it can also be including asav, this vegetation, these grasses that are suited for consumption, but it's poisonous for animals. Okay, so that is that's Rav's chiddush in the Mishnah. So the Gemara goes on and says meisav. So here's the following problem: we have a second kasha on Rav. The braisa says ha'isha shenichnasa l'tchon chitim etzel balabayis. If a woman went into the courtyard, presumably the backyard of this fellow, in order to grind wheat, shalobershus, without permission, va'achalasin behem dosha balabayis. So this woman brings her wheat into this fellow's backyard, and he has a grinder of some sort that she would like to use. So she brings in her wheat, and while her wheat is there, the owner's, the homeowner, the courtyard owner's animal eats up her wheat. What's the halacha? Is he going to be liable or not? So it says the braisa of pater. The baal habayis is going to be pater. Im huska, and if the animal gets hurt as a result of those wheat, of that wheat, chayaves, then she is going to be liable. So it says the Gemara, v'amai, but why should that be? Nema havalosh lo tocha. Why don't we say the animal shouldn't have eaten? The same idea that what Rav told us, is that when the animal gets damaged as a result of eating the fruit, so Rav thinks that you're pater. So same thing over here. So we have another braisa that seems to be against Rav. So it says Gemara, I'll tell you what I would tell you. Umi adifa mimas nisin. Is this any better than our Mishnah? Do ukimna shehuch lakaben, where we established it to be specifically a case where the animal slips on the fruit. That's where the Reuven, the person who brought the pears in, is going to be liable. And so that's presumably how Rav would answer up that braisa also. Don't ask me kashas from the braisa on Rav. The braisa just says very ambiguously, if the animal got damaged as a result of the chitim, you'd be liable. Well, it doesn't say how, so Rav would answer up that braisa the same way that he answered up the Mishnah. So now, wait a second. The ka'arila my ka'arila. So then what were you thinking when you asked this as a kasha and Rav? Seems pretty obvious answer what we would say. So Amar Lecha, no, I'll tell you what he would tell you. I'll tell you what the response is to why we thought that this braisa is a good kasha and Rav, and why you wouldn't necessarily have split hairs the way that you did in the Mishnah. Bishlam amas nisim, because it would make sense in the Mishnah to say, where in the Mishnah, the ketani im huska behen, where the Mishnah says im huska behen, if the animal got damaged on them, so what does that mean? Shehuch luka behenu. So then Rav could touch that up to say that that's where the animal slipped on them. Aval hacha, but over here, but here in the braisa, what does the braisa say? It says im aval hacha katani im huzka. It just says if it got damaged. Velo katani behen. It doesn't say on them. So achiluhu de katani. It sounds like the braisa is telling us a case of where the animal is eating the fruit. And so therefore, we would have thought that the Braisa is discussing specifically where the animals, or at least where the animal is eating the fruit, and that's how it got damaged, and the Braisa is telling you that you're chayiv. That's why we thought it was a kasha and rav. And so therefore, the idach amar lecha. And so then, what would be the response? What would rav respond? Why that's not a good point? Why that's not a good loshna? No, it doesn't make a difference. That's not true. There, it wouldn't make a difference if it says imchuska or imchuska behen. It can be referring to any kind of damage. It got damaged as a result of the pears. How? So rav would die. It got damaged as a result of slipping on the pears. That's why the woman would be chayv. Okay, so again, so far we had two kashas and rav. The first kasha was from this brisa putting up poison in front of the animal. The second kasha was from this woman who, the brisa that says that when a woman brings wheat into the balabais's chatzar in order to grind and she doesn't have rishus, so the halacha is that if the homeowner's animal eats the wheat, he's pater. And if the animal got damaged, he's chayv. So according to Rav, why would she be chayavis? Why should she be liable? Shouldn't it depend? We should say that if the animal shouldn't have eaten them, it shouldn't have gotten hurt, it shouldn't have done that to itself. So the Gemara said, no. The Braisa, we're going to establish to be the same way that Rav answered up the Mishnah, is the way that Rav is going to answer up the Braisa. When the Braisa says that the animal got hurt, it means that it got hurt as a result of slipping on the chitim. Okay. One more kasha and rav. Tashma, hichnes shara lechatzer balabais shalobershos va'achol chitin v'hitris umes. He brings his ox. So Reuven brings his ox into the chatzer of the balabais, into Shimon's courtyard, shalobershos without permission. Then what happens is va'achol chitin, and it ate wheat v'hitris, and it got sick, umes, and it died. Pater. So the halacha is he'd be pater. Vim hichnes pershos, but if he brought it in with permission, then the owner of the chatzar, the shimon, is going to be liable. So the question is, wait a second, but why should that be? If Rav is correct, why should that be? You should not have eaten. So why don't you have the same argument that when you bring your ox in and it ate this wheat and it got sick and it died, so we say that the owner is pater, and if you brought it in and it had permission, so then we say the bala chatzar is going to be chayv. I don't get that. You should say should not have eaten. So says the Gemara, what kind of question is that? Amar Rava, Birshus Ashalo, Birshus Karamis, you're asking a kasha from a scenario of where you had permission to put it in, and that's where you say the Baal HaChatzar is going to be chayiv if the animal got sick and died. You're asking, but that's where you had permission. You're asking that as a kasha in a case where you didn't have permission to bring your animal in. Birshus, when you have when you need permission to bring your animal in, Shmir Shoro Kibola love. The homeowner, Shimon, was accepting responsibility to guard the shore to make sure it doesn't get hurt. Even if it would choke itself, you would still be liable because when you allow me to put my animal in your backyard, you are accepting shmira on yourself. You are accepting that you are going to make sure that the animal does not get hurt. You're going to make sure that even the animal doesn't hurt itself. Okay. So those are the three kashas and Rav. That from these brises where it seemed to suggest, Rav wanted to say that there's a difference between the way that the animal is hurting itself. If the animal slips on the pears, difference between how the animal got damaged. If the animal slipped on the pears or slipped on whatever it is that you brought in, that's when you're going to be liable if you didn't have permission. But if the animal ate something and it got hurt and it did it to itself, so then you're going to be potter. Okay, now. The Gemara goes on. Ibayalahu. So here's the question that they had. Heichad kabbala le'natirusa mahu, where he accepted upon himself shmira to guard the animal to make sure it doesn't get hurt. What's the halacha mahu? What's the din? Now, what does that mean? What's the din? What's the halacha? Meaning to say, dinaf shehu de kabbala le. It was his own. It was himself that he was accepting on himself. Oduma, or maybe afilu netirusa de'alma kabbala le. Maybe the shmira of the world he was accepting on himself. Meaning to say, when Reuven puts his ox into Shimon's backyard, and Shimon gives him permission, he says you're allowed to keep it in. He's accepting shmira on himself, either in general terms if you hold like the chamim, or he says specifically that I'm going to guard it for you. I'll babysit this ox for you. So when you accept to babysit this ox, what are you accepting on yourself? Are you accepting that on yourself to make sure that it doesn't get hurt from the things that you have at home? Or are you accepting shmir that you're going to make sure that it doesn't get hurt even from things outside of your home, from things that come from the world? That's the question. What kind of shmira are you accepting upon yourself when you accept to babysit this person's ox? Are you accepting to babysit and to make sure that this will not get hurt from anything you have at your house? Or are you accepting upon yourself that even things that are not in your house, you're going to make sure that this doesn't get hurt at all? So that was the Gemara's Chakira. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says as follows. Tashma. The Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Simon ben Yitzchak in the Beit Karna. This is what Rav Yehuda Bar Simon taught by when they were learning Nizak in the Beit Karna. When he was in Karna's yeshiva, so hichnis perosav lechatzer balabais, the brisa that he taught over was the following: if he brought in his fruit into the chatzer of the balabais, so Reuven brings his fruit into Shimon's chatzer, shalo bershus, without permission, ubash shor mimakam acher, and then an ox came from some other place, va'achlan, and ate those peros. What's the halach in this Mishnah, in this brisa? So he says pater. The halach is that you'd be pater. Vim hichnis bershus, but if you brought them in with permission, if Reuven brought the fruit in with permission, chayiv, then he would be liable. So now, wait a second. Man pater uman chayiv. Who exactly is pater? Who exactly is chayiv? Who are we talking about? Lav pater bal chatzer. Is it not that the bal chatzer, Shimon, the owner of the courtyard, he's the person that we're talking about? He's the person we're saying he's pater, v'chayiv bal chatzer, and then he's the person that we're saying is that he is a person who would be liable. Meaning to say that in this case, where Reuven brings his fruit into Shimon's courtyard, and he doesn't have permission to bring his fruit there, some random ox comes in and eats up all the fruit that Reuven brought in. So what's the halacha? So presumably, the Braisa is telling you that Shimon, the owner of that chatzer, would be pater. Now, but if Shimon gave you permission to bring your fruit there, then Shimon would be liable if some random ox came and ate them up. So what do you see? You see very clearly that when Shimon accepts, when he tells you that you could bring your thing, when you can bring your fruit into my backyard, so Shimon is accepting upon himself responsibility that this is not even going to get damaged. This is not going to get damaged even from something outside of his home, something that's coming from the world. So the Gemara says, no, Amri, I'll tell you what I would say. Lo, that's not true. Pater bal hashor. When the Braisa tells you that he's pater, it doesn't mean that the owner, that Shimon, the homeowner, the person whose rishus you brought your payers into, we're not saying that he's the person who's pater. We're saying pater bal hashor. The owner of the ox is pater. In other words, remember, the case is Reuven brings his payers into Shimon's backyard. He doesn't have permission to put them there, so we say that he's pater, and then somebody's pater. And if he does have permission to bring them there, then somebody's chayv. Now, what happened? If someone random ox ate this fruit. Well, wait a second. Who owns the ox? So whoever owns that ox is going to be the person who's going to be liable. If you didn't have permission, apparently, if you didn't have permission to bring your fruit into Shimon's backyard, so then let's assume it's Levi, the owner of the ox, is not going to be liable for the damages that his ox does to your fruit. But if you did have permission to bring your fruit into Shimon's backyard, then Levi would be responsible for the damage that his ox did. So the Gemara says, wait a second, V'ibal Shor, but if you want to tell me that we're talking about it's the owner of the ox, it's Levi who's going to be liable. Excuse me, it's going to be Levi who's going to be liable for the damages done to the fruit, or it's going to be Levi who's going to be putter for the damages to the fruit if Reuven didn't have a right to put his fruit in Shimon's backyard. My Bershus and my Shalom Bershusika. What relevance is there of this Bershus or Shalom Bershus? Why does it make a difference if Reuven had permission to put his fruit there or not? That should seem to be, that should seem to have no bearing over here. It's a Levi's ox from that came from some random place. Levi's ox came in and ate up all of your fruit. Why does it make a difference if you had permission or not to put your fruit in Shimon's backyard? At the end of the day, it's Levi's ox that did the damage. Levi should be responsible. So the Gemara says, Ami, no. I'll tell you what I would say. Bershus, when the Braisa tells you that Reuven had permission to put his peiros in Shimon's backyard, so when he has permission, that's when Levi is chayv. Why should that be? Because when it's bershus, havila shein bershus hanizik. Because then we're dealing with a case of shein, of shein bershus hanizik, in the rishus of the nizik. Wait a second, how is that shein bershus hanizik? So what Rashi explains over here is that since Shimon gave you permission, gave you Reuven permission to put his fruit there, well then, that's the same thing as saying that, okay, so I'm allowing you to have a certain amount of space in my chatzer in which to store your fruit. And so therefore, that we're no longer dealing with a random case. It's as though a Levi's ox ate up the fruit in Reuven's own backyard. It's not that he ate up Reuven's fruit in Shimon's backyard. It's that Levi's ox ate up Reuven's fruit in Reuven's backyard. Because since Reuven had a right to put his fruit into Shimon's backyard, it's as though Shimon gave him a certain amount of space in his backyard to use for his fruit. Okay, and so then, how does that help us? So I have a l'shein b'rshus and izik. So then it would be a case of shein b'rshus and izik. The shein b'rshus and izik, chayev. And when we're dealing with a case of shein in the rshus of the nizik, well then, then you're going to be liable for those damages, for shein b'rshus and izik. But, shalom b'rshus, if Reuven did not have permission to put his fruit into Shimon's backyard, and then Levi's animal came along and ate up those fruit, well then have a l'shein b'rshus rabim. Then, as far as we're concerned, that's equivalent to shein b'rshus rabim, damages of shein in a public area. V'shein b'rshus rabim petura. And when you have shein b'rshus rabim, we know that the halacha is that you're potter. Now, wait a second. What does that mean? How is it that Reuven's backyard is like a Rishus Rabin? So what Rashi explains over here is that when the Gemara tells you that it's Rishus Rabin, it doesn't really mean an actual Rishus Rabin. It just means that we know that in order to be subject to Shein, it has to be Ubir Bistei Acher. It has to be that the animal is consuming this food in another person's field. But over here, it's not considered to be Stei Acher. It's not considered to be like the sada of somebody else of the nizik, because the field doesn't belong to Reuven. The field belongs to Shimon, because Reuven was putting his fruit into Shimon's backyard without permission. Okay, so again, what happened over here? We have a chakira. We want to know that when Reuven is putting something into Shimon's backyard, and Shimon says, gives him permission to it, so and he's accepting shmir on himself. What kind of shmir is he accepting on himself? Is he accepting to make sure that it doesn't get damaged from the things that Shimon himself owns, or is he accepting shmir to make sure that it doesn't get damaged by anything, even things that Shimon doesn't own that come in? So the Gemara says, there seems to be a raya from this brisa that Rav Yehuda Bar Simon taught. Rav Yehuda Bar Simon taught this brisa where Reuven brings fruit into Shimon's backyard, and he doesn't have permission to bring his fruit there. So if Levi's ox comes from some other place and eats up those fruit, the halach is somebody's pater. And if he brings them in, if Reuven has permission to bring the fruit, we say that somebody's chayiv. The Gemara assumes that the person who's chayiv is the owner of the chatzar. So you see that he's clearly accepting, when he does accept upon himself the responsibility to be shomer, he's accepting upon himself to make sure that it doesn't get damaged, even from Levi's random ox. The Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. That's not really the person who's chayiv or pater here. We're talking about the owner of the ox. We're talking about Levi as being chayiv or pater. Why would it make a difference if Reuven has permission to put his fruit in permission or not to put fruit into Shimon's backyard for Levi to be chayev? Why does it make a difference? The answer is because if Reuven has permission to put his fruit there, then it's considered shein b'rshus. Then it's considered a shein b'rshus and nizik. If it's shein b'rshus and nizik, then Levi's going to be chayev. If Reuven does not have permission to put his fruit into Shimon's backyard, then it's considered to be shein b'rshus rabin. It's not considered to be b'stei acher, and therefore that's why Levi would be patur from the damages that his ox does to Reuven's fruit. Okay. So Gemara says Tashma. Okay, so let's try another raya, another way to attempt to address this question of what kind of shmirah are you accepting upon yourself if you let someone put his fruit in your backyard. So the Gemara says Tashma. Hichnis shor lechatzer balabais. If he brought his axe into the chatzer of the balabais, so again, in the previous price we're discussing where Reuven is bringing his fruit into Shimon's backyard. Now we're discussing where Reuven brings his ox into Shimon's backyard. Shalom b'rshus, and he didn't have permission to bring in his ox. Ubashar mimakam acher, and then some other ox from some other place, so Levi's ox, presumably, comes along from some other place. Unagacho, and he gores Reuven's ox. So again, Reuven brings his ox into Shimon's backyard. Reuven does not have permission to put a shor there. And then Levi's ox pops in and gores Reuven's ox. What's the halacha? Pater. Well, then Levi is pater. Vim hichnis b'rshus, but if he brought it in with permission, then chayiv. Then he's going to be liable. Now, wait a second. Who's chayiv? Who's pater? Man pater, man chayiv. Who should be pater? Who's chayiv? When the Brisa says that somebody's pater, somebody's chayiv. La pater bal chatzar, and not that the owner of the chatzar, the owner of the chatzar, that you didn't have permission to bring your animal into his backyard. Now when Levi's ox come and gores it, if you didn't have permission to bring it, well, then Reuven's going to be pater. Shimon is going to be pater. The chayiv bal chatzar, and we're talking about that the bal chatzar is going to be chayiv. And so that's what it means. You see that when Reuven puts his ox into Shimon's backyard, if Shimon accepts responsibility for the ox, then he's accepting responsibility to make sure that this axe doesn't get hurt, even from Levi's random axe coming in from the world. So that's what we attempt to address this question with, is this brisa. So Gemara says, lo, that's not what it means. Pater bal hashor, v'chai bal hashor. We're talking about that it's the owner of the ox who's pater. In other words, it's Levi who's pater, or it'd be Levi who's chai. In other words, when Reuben brings his ox into Shimon's backyard, and Reuben did not have permission to bring his ox here, so then Levi's going to be pater if Levi's ox goes and damages Reuben's ox. But if Reuben did have permission to bring his ox there into Shimon's backyard, and then Levi's ox comes and gores it, if Reuben had permission, well then Levi is going to be liable for the damages that his ox does to Reuben's ox. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Ihachi, if that's true, that we're talking about Levi being chai for pater, my bershus umay shelo bershusika. What business is there? What relevance is there for it to be bershus or shelo bershus? What does that make a difference? What does it make a difference if Reuben has permission to put his ox there or not? Similar to what we had before, where it says, no. I'll tell you what I would say. It's like this: Hamani, what's going on over here in this bride? So whose sheath is this? Rabbi Tarfon heath. This is Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. That's who's talking in this bride. So we're going in accordance with Rav Tarfon. Da amar mishuna karen b'chatzer nizik nezek shalem mishalem. We know that Rav Tarfon knows that when you're dealing with karen b'rshus hanizik, karen b'chatzer nizik, the halacha is you have to pay nezek shalem. And therefore what? So b'rshus havila karen b'chatzer hanizik u'mishalem nezek shalem. When you have permission, when Reuben has permission to put his axe there, well then we're dealing with when Levi's axe comes and gores Reuben's axe, we're dealing with Karen b'rshus hanizik. And so therefore, he's going to have to pay nezek shalim. Shelo b'rshus, well when Reuben does not have permission to put his axe into Shimon's backyard, havela Karen b'rshus harabim. Then as far as we're concerned, it's a case of Karen b'rshus harabim, velo mashalma el chatzi nezek, in which case Shimon is Levi's going to have to pay only chatzi nezek. In other words, when the assumption of the Gemara was that when we're saying Bershus or Shlo Bershus, there shouldn't be a difference for Karen. Whether we're dealing with Chatzar Nizik or Bershus Harabim, it shouldn't make a difference. And therefore, if that's the case, why does it make a difference if Reuben had permission or not? Now the Gemara is saying, no, it does, because we know that Tarfon holds that there's a difference between Karen Bershus and Nizik and Karen Bershus Harabim. This is what we discussed in the Mishnah on Chav Dalet, where we said that according to Reb Tarfon, we said that if it's Bershus HaRabim, you pay Chatzi Nezek. If it's Bershus HaNizek, you're going to pay Nezek Shalim. So now the Gemara is saying, this is Reb Tarfon's opinion. And therefore, because if Reuven does have permission, to put his axe into Shimon's backyard, well then we're going to say that the law is going to be that's a case of Karen Bershus HaNizek, similar to what we said before, because Reuven has a right to put his things there. Therefore, because it's Karen Bershus HaNizek, the law is going to be that you're going to have to pay that the Levi is going to have to pay Nezek Shalim. But if Reuven did not have permission to put his axe here, well then, he didn't have permission to put it there, well then we're dealing with Karen Bershus Harabim. And because we're dealing with Karen Bershus Harabim, it's not his domain, it's not his personal private domain, it's Shimon's domain, but it's still not considered to be Karen Bershus HaNizek, it's considered to be Karen Bershus Harabim. Therefore, Levi is going to have to pay, not Nezek Shalim, but Chatzi Nezek. And so, how would you read this back into the line of the Brisa? The Brisa said, you're putter, didn't it? It said, if you have permission to put it there, then Levi's chai. If you didn't have permission to put it there, then Levi's pater. What does it mean that it's pater? It means that he's pater from Nezek Shalim, right? And when it's a chayiv, it means that he's chayiv to pay Nezek Shalim. So when he's pater to pay paying Nezek Shalim, that means that he's chayiv to pay Chati Nezek. Okay. So what do we do so here so far? First, we started off with Rav qualifying the Mishnah and Mem Zayin, and Rav telling us that the only way that when you bring your fruit into Shimon's backyard and Shimon's animal, and you didn't have permission to put your fruit there, Shimon's animal gets hurt, the only way that you're going to be chayiv is if the animal slipped on those fruit. But if the animal took the fruit and ate too much of it and then died, then you're going to be pater because the animal shouldn't have eaten, the animal shouldn't have hurt itself. We had a kasha in there from three different prices, and we addressed all those kashas. Then we had a chakira. The chakira was that when you bring your stuff into Shimon's backyard, when Reuven brings his stuff into Shimon's backyard, and Shimon lets him, Shimon accepts Shmira. What kind of Shmira is Shimon accepting upon himself? Is he accepting Shmira to make sure that the things that he owns doesn't hurt Reuven's things? Or is he accepting Shmira that even things from the world, he's going to make sure don't hurt Reuven's things? So we attempted to bring a braisa from Rav Yehuda Bar Simon to address this question. We deflected that. Then we brought a braisa over here about Hichnas Shoro. That also we deflected. Okay. Now the Gemara goes on and says as follows. Hahi itza. There was a woman. The also la meifa bahu besa. That she went to bake in a certain person's home. Okay, so Asa Barcha, the Mardebesa, there was a goat of the Mardebesa, the owner of the house, the Balabais. Achla Lelisha, and the goat ate her dough. Chavel Umes, and then the goat got sick. Rashi says it got some sort of a fever, and the goat died. So now what's the halacha? So Chayva Rava Lishlumi Demei Barcha. So Rava obligated her to compensate for the value of that goat. He held her accountable. Now the Gemara says, well then Lema Pliga Adarav. Then we're going to suggest then that Rava disagrees with Rav, the Amar Rav, because we know that Rav holds Havelash Lo Tocha. The animal shouldn't have eaten. So the same thing over here. The animal, if you would have asked Rav the Shaila, Rav would have said that the goat shouldn't have eaten. It did it to itself, so therefore the woman's not chayiv. But Rava though, Rava held her accountable, and so therefore Rava clearly does not seem to hold of Rav's Yesod of Havelash Lo Tocha. So Gemara says, I'll tell you what I would say. It's like this. Hachi Hashem. Hang on a second. Hasam shalobar shus. Over there was without permission. So lo kabbalah le netirusa. So there was no acceptance of shmira. Hacha birshus. But over here it was with permission, and therefore kabbalah le netirusa. And therefore there was an acceptance of shmira. In other words, the reason that Rava held that she should be accountable wasn't because he holds that when you bring something in birshus, you're accepting upon yourself shmira of this. Of the animal. In other words, the question of yours is that if I let you bring your stuff into my house, again, the question that we had before, that there's always, it's two ways. If Reuven brings his chemistry set into Shimon's backyard, on the one hand, Shimon might have to make sure that the people in his house don't damage that chemistry set, don't flush it down the toilet. And Reuven is going to have to make sure that maybe Reuven is accepting Shmira, that his chemistry set is not going to hurt anybody in the house. That's what we're talking about over here. When Rava holds her accountable, what's really going on over here is that there's a difference between whether he had permission or he didn't have permission. Over here, it's a little bit different. Over here, and we're going to go on to discuss why exactly it is a little bit different. We're going to contrast, and then we'll come back in a second to explain. So the Gemara goes on and says, "Umayshna, wait a second. What's the difference over here? Me'aisha shenichnas alitchon chitin etzal balabais. What's the difference between this woman who goes in to grind her wheat by this balabais, shalobershus, and she didn't have permission, va'achlasin behemto, and then his animal, the homeowner's animal, eats up those wheat, va'achlasin shabehemto shabalabais. What's the halacha? Potter. He's potter. Huska, and if the animal got hurt, chayeves. Then she's liable. What do you see? Taima de shalo bershus. Ha bershus, potter. It's specifically because she didn't have permission. If she would have had permission, she would have been potter. What are you telling me now? That if she has permission, then we say that there's an acceptance of Shemira. She's making sure that the person's animal is not going to get hurt. But over there, for some reason, when she brings in the chitim into this fellow's house and she had permission to bring the wheat in, the assumption is that presumably if she does have permission, then she's going to be potter. That's what it sounded like from the previous brisa. So it seems to be a stira. So says Gemara Ami, no, that's not correct. I'll tell you what I would say. It's like this. Litchon chitim, to grind wheat, because she doesn't require any tznius, any privacy, the owner of the chatzar, the marvasa de chatzar, the bala chatzar, would not need to be misalki, wouldn't have to remove himself, doesn't have to excuse himself to give her space, to give her privacy. And therefore, the shmira is incumbent upon himself. But for baking, when he gives this woman permission to bake, kiven de bayi hitznusa, because she needs privacy, because she has to roll up her sleeves and expose herself, so therefore she requires privacy. And if she requires privacy, marvasa de chatzar misalkin afshayu. The owner of the chatzar, the bala chatzar, is going to remove himself. He's going to excuse himself to give her privacy. And so hilkach ala dida ramenetirusa. The shmira is incumbent upon herself. In other words, when she brings in her dough when she wants to bake in this fellow's house. So the goat comes and Rava and eats up her dough and dies. So Rava says that she's liable. Why is she liable? The answer is that since he allowed her, he gave her permission, and he has to excuse himself in the room to give her privacy. So now she's accepting shmir on herself to make sure that her dough doesn't damage his animals. But in the case of the wheat, when a woman brings her wheat in to grind, if she didn't have permission, okay, so then if the animal gets hurt, she's going to be chayv. But if she does have permission, then she's going to be putter if the animal gets hurt. Why is she going to be putter if the animal gets hurt? The answer is because he doesn't have to excuse himself from the room to give her privacy. And therefore, he's going to ensure that his animals don't get hurt. He's accepting upon himself that he's going to make sure that his animals don't get hurt as a result of her baking. Okay, so what do we say over here? What we said is, for starters, Rav qualified the Mishnah. Rav told us that the only way that when you bring your fruit into Shimon's backyard without permission, Shimon's animal gets hurt, you're going to be liable. When? When the animal slipped on the fruit. Not if the animal ate the fruit and hurt itself that way. Why? Because if Rav is big svara, Rav is big decide of havelo shlo tochal, the animal should not have eaten. It shouldn't have done that to himself. We asked three kashas from three different brises. We dispelled those kashas. Then we had a chakira. The chakira was when Reuven brings his stuff into Shimon's backyard and Shimon accepts shmirah on himself. What kind of shmirah is he accepting? Is he accepting to make sure that the things he owns doesn't damage Reuven's stuff, or is he accepting shmirah that everybody else's things are also not going to damage? So we attempted to bring a raya from Rav Yehuda Bar Simon's brisa, and we dispelled that. And then we had a raya, attempted raya from this brisa of Hichnis Shoro, and we also rejected that. Then we had this story where this woman brings in her stuff to bake in a certain fellow's house, and his goat eats her dough and dies. So Rava held her responsible. The question was, so at first it sounds like Rava disagrees with Rav, because Rav would have said havelo shlo tochal, and Rava seems to be not buying into that. So the Gemara said, no, that's not true. There's a difference between whether it's Bershus or Shelo Bershus. When it's Bershus, so then she's accepting upon herself to make sure that his goats are not going to get damaged. So the question is, wait a second, what about in the case where the woman brings in wheat in order to grind that over there? It sounded like if she had permission, then she's putter from any damages that happened to his animals. So why should that be? If she had permission, shouldn't she be accepting upon herself shmir to make sure that his animals don't get hurt? The answer is, there's a difference. When she's grinding wheat, he doesn't have to excuse himself. He doesn't have to give her privacy. And therefore, he's going to make sure his animals don't get hurt. But when she's coming to bake, he has to give her privacy. And therefore, she's going to have to make sure that his animals don't get hurt. Okay, let's hold here.